Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Juan Williams straddled the journalistic worlds of Fox News and NPR for years, but no more. Last week, NPR pulled his contract, said he'd gone too far, and set off a storm of public and political reaction. It's not over yet, nor is the debate over rights and wrongs when punditry meets journalism today. We're going to hear it out this hour on Point, NPR, Fox News, and Juan Williams. You can join the conversation should Juan Williams have been fired. You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. And many have, believe me, over this last week. Joining me now from San Antonio, Texas, is Alicia Shepard. She's the ombudsman for NPR, which means she weighs in independently on decisions that NPR makes, but she is on the staff of NPR. Her article in the wake of the Juan Williams decision was headlined, NPR's firing of Juan Williams was poorly handled. Alicia, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, Tom.
Poorly handled, but your bottom line was, you, the ombudsman's bottom line was he had to go.
Yes. I arrived at NPR in October 2007, and from the minute I got there, I would say that I do say Juan Williams was the most controversial employee, and it was often and almost always because of what he said on another network. I mean, I used to joke that I am Fox's de facto ombudsman.
Is controversial bad?
No, it's not bad, but I just find that the inability or the difficulty of trying, as you said very clearly, to straddle the two worlds of NPR, trying to be the impartial news, give the facts straight network, and then Fox on the O'Reilly show. And again, you have to realize after 7, that's when Fox goes into its punditry mode. And it's very difficult to straddle both those worlds. And many news organizations do have rules that don't allow reporters to go on unless they are talking about a specific story. So Juan Williams has been doing this since before he came to NPR. He was appearing on Fox News. And I do want to say one thing, which I find it's so disappointing and discouraging, the amount of misinformation out there.
Like what?
You know, as an example, I mean, I have great respect for Jay Rosen, but he wrote a piece and he said that Juan Williams was an NPR correspondent when he began to appear on Fox. And that's not true. He came to NPR with that arrangement. They accepted that arrangement. He came in 2000 to be the host of Talk of the Nation.
We'll hear
so,
from
I mean, I could go on and on about, you know, people's willingness to, you know, grab onto this story for different, you know, taking different aspects of it that serve their own purposes.
Well, like everything else, I guess people grab on for all kinds of reasons, but people have really grabbed on. There's no question about that. I know a lot of this has been heard, but I think we've got to listen one more time because we're going to be talking about it all this hour. This was a week ago today on Bill O'Reilly's show, and Bill O'Reilly opened the whole show saying, we're talking about the Muslim dilemma. Now right there, you may have an issue. Of course, he was then responding to when Whoopi Goldberg and her colleague had walked off when he was on The View. And he turned to Juan Williams and said, you know, am I wrong here, Juan? Am I wrong here? And here's Juan Williams making the first, importantly, the first of a number of comments in response.
I think, look, political correctness can lead to some kind of paralysis where you don't address reality. I mean, look, Bill, I'm not a bigot. You know the kind of books I've written about the civil rights movement in this country. But when I get on a plane, I got to tell you, if I see people who are in Muslim garb, and I think, you know, they're identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried. I get nervous. Now, I remember also that when that Times Square bomber was at court, I think this was just last week, he said the war with Muslims, America's war with is just beginning, first drop of blood. I don't think there's any way to get away from these facts, but I think there are people who want to somehow remind us all, as President Bush did after 9/11, it's not a war against Islam.
Okay, there's Juan Williams a week ago today. Alicia Shepard is NPR ombudsman. She's with us today from San Antonio, Texas. We're going to hear more, Alicia, because as you know, some people are saying this is a kind of Shirley Sherrod situation. He was putting out there a statement that when there's people in Muslim garb on the plane, I get on, I get worried, I get nervous. And he was setting that up in order to go on and make a point that's just a personal response and shouldn't guide the way we interact with our fellow citizens who are Muslim. But what about it? In this segment itself, is that the fireable offense?
Well, as I've said repeatedly, this is not an isolated incident. This is a prolonged period where Juan Williams has said and done things on Fox that have violated NPR's ethics codes, that they've spoken to him, they've asked him to try to be more measured. And so that, that's something else that is being taken out of context. One incident, do you fire someone? And, of course, anyone who's worked in an environment, whether it's a newsroom or a corporation, knows that rarely are people fired for one offense. And so I feel like that's been taken out of context. And that's really what I'd like to emphasize, is context is a huge value in journalism, and it's not being used here. For instance, Tom, if you started the clip, Bill O'Reilly says, Do we have a Muslim dilemma?
Right at the top of the show.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Juan says, Bill, I hate to agree with you because I don't want to massage your ego, but yes. And then goes in. And I feel like that's also part of it. And then the last thing I'd like to say is, of course this is a sensitive issue, and of course it should be discussed, but is Bill O'Reilly's show, known for being provocative, the place to discuss something like this? I mean, that's what I wonder. Are people really think that that's where you have a sensitive discussion about an issue that is uncomfortable for so many people?
Well, it's certainly a provocative show. There's no question about that. I mean, some did criticize Juan Williams for going into that venue. Others said, brave Juan for going in there and being there. He tried to do it, just so we don't just focus on that
right.
One bit. Let's pull the spotlight Absolutely. Back a little bit. Here's right behind what we just heard. Juan comes in and he looks to make the point that, look, there have been Christian terrorists of a number of stripes. You'll hear mentioned Timothy McVeigh and the Atlanta Olympics bomber and the protesters at military funerals. Of course, Bill O'Reilly's interrupting a lot, but you'll hear Juan trying to make this point that you can't spread fears over all Muslims.
Because if you said, Timothy McVeigh, Atlanta bomber, these people who are protesting against homosexuality at military funerals, very obnoxious, you don't say first and foremost, we got a problem with Christians.
Because but it's not at that level. It doesn't rise near
Correct.
To that level.
And when you said in the Talking Points memo a moment ago that there are good Muslims, I think that's a point,
It's, but everybody you don't knows be, that, Juan.
No,
I mean,
no, no.
What are we, in
because,
third grade here, or what?
No, you don't. But you've got to be careful. This is what Barbara Walters was saying.
I got to be careful.
With.
You just said it. I got to be careful.
Yeah,
I have to qualify everything 50 times. You know what,
no,
Juan? I'm not
no.
doing that anymore. I'm not
okay,
doing it
but
anymore.
You, but
I
then
will
you,
say,
so be yourself,
I will say Muslim
Bill, take
terrorists,
responsibility.
But I'm,
Alicia Shepard is NPR Ombudsman. You hear Bill O'Reilly there saying, I'm not going to be careful. And ironically, you've got Juan Williams there saying, but you've got to take responsibility, Alicia. And people have come,
well, Tom,
William Salton,
like to...
and said, this is the Shirley Sherrod story. He was pointing out his own weakness in order to say, but that's not the road we should go down. What about that argument?
Tom, right now you and I are having a civil, measured, you speak, I speak, reasonable conversation. Did that sound like a reasonable, thoughtful, measured conversation when you're yelling at one another? Again, I think the Juan is right. It's a good issue, and it's one that's just not the forum for it. And I think that was part of the problem, that there's yelling at one another, the screaming, I don't care, I'm not going to pay attention to the facts. No, you should. I feel that at the end of the day, and I hate using that expression, but that this was just a relation. This is a personnel issue, and it was a relationship that no longer worked. And it's not about this one incident. And yes, it's unfair to just focus on, I get nervous when I see people wearing Muslim garb.
It's being put forward as a First Amendment freedom of speech issue by critics of NPR here.
Well, as far as I'm No, there's no freedom of speech to be on NPR or to work for NPR. And so I think that is a totally false dilemma. You know, is the news giant, I saw a headline, is the news giant stepping on the right to free speech? Well, he had the right to say that wherever he wants, but you know, NPR felt that it doesn't affect or it doesn't fit with their ethics codes. It doesn't follow their ethics codes. Now, you know, whether or not you agree with their ethics code, it is very clear that you cannot say something on another network that you couldn't say on NPR. And there's no doubt that that kind of conversation with that heated yelling would not be said on NPR.
But then you've got the argument it was brave of Juan to go into that forum. And he's, you know, been brave to do that for years, to take his perspective into what NPR may or may not like its style, but it is a widely viewed wing of American media.
I agree. Why didn't he say to NPR, and this is hypothetical, you know, this is a serious topic. This is one that many Americans relate with, struggle with. Why don't we have a good topic? Why don't we, like Scott Simon, let's talk, I'm on your show often on Sunday. Why don't we have, you know, a reason, thoughtful, have a lot of different viewpoints and try to get at some of this? Again, I'm not dissing the issue. I'm dissing the forum in terms of it being a thoughtful, measured, give everybody a chance, learn something. That's just people yelling at each other.
And that's a fireable offense to be on a forum where people are yelling at each other?
Tom, I've said to you, I'm not in the position of defending NPR, but as I said, this is a personnel problem. I have gotten complaints about Juan Williams and things that he said on Fox consistently. This is an example of, I guess you could say, the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Juan Williams firing, the Juan Williams firing, NPR, and the boundaries of news and analysis. Juan Williams, of course, right back at Fox News, now full-time, three-year, $2 million contract, reportedly, and talking immediately after his firing last week about what happened. He's been very critical of NPR on the way out since he left. Here he is with Bill O'Reilly criticizing NPR last week.
I don't fit in their box. I'm not predictable, black,
exercise?
Liberal. And let me tell you something else. You were exactly right when you said, you know what this comes down to? They were looking for a reason to get rid of me because I appear on Fox News.
That's right.
They don't want me
and
talking
here's backup.
To you.
Lots of response, political response. Here's former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, one of a number of voices who began calling for NPR to be defunded by the federal government.
I think it is an act of total censorship. I think that the U.S. Congress should investigate NPR, and I should consider cutting off their money.
NPR CEO Vivian Schiller saying, no, we had to do it. Here she is last week.
Certainly you have opinions. All human beings have their personal opinions. But it is, you know, the ideal of journalism that we strive for objectivity so that we can best present the positions of people around all parts of a debate to our public so that the public can make their own decisions about these issues.
Striving for objectivity in a time when there is all kinds of opinion flying around in the world of and all around and next to, above and below journalism. Alicia Shepard is with us this hour from San Antonio, Texas. She's NPR ombudsman for the past 3 years. Her editorial, her piece on this whole incident was headlined, NPR firing of Juan Williams was poorly handled. We'll talk about that. Joining us right now as well from Great Falls, Virginia, is Mona Sharon, syndicated columnist, political analyst, author of Do-Gooders. Mona Sharon, welcome back to On Point.
Pleasure. Hi, Tom.
Hi. It's nice to have you here. And Jay Rosen, professor of journalism at NYU, New York University, writes the Press Think blog, joins us from New York. Jay, thank you for being here.
Hi, Tom.
Alicia's calling you out on some facts of who was working at Fox, when, but let's go to your big take first, Jay. Was it right or wrong to say adios to Juan Williams here?
Well, I think that given NPR's policies, they made a mistake by allowing Williams to be on Fox in the first place. They obviously felt he was doing something that violated their policies for quite a long time. And it's a mystery to me why they didn't remove him earlier, but it was almost like a trap or a simmering situation that had been set up by the fact that he was in open violation of the rules they have for themselves about what NPR analysts can do. And any triggering event for his firing would have seemed arbitrary because he was in an untenable situation with NPR, and NPR was in an untenable situation with him. So that's my take on it. I don't think that the specific words he uttered were really all that bad and deserved a firing in and of themselves, but given NPR's very limited role for what an NPR analyst does, Juan Williams was kind of in an absurd position.
Jay, what kind of world are we in, though, when, you know, Americans in one part of media can't talk to Americans in another part of media? I mean, it may be NPR's rules, and I guess you've got to respect any organization can set its own rules, but there is a big conversation in this country. One might hope that somebody like Juan could talk to people on different sides of different fences.
Well, I agree with that. You ask what kind of world we're in. I think it's important to recognize that this takes place within the background of a culture war that frequently includes the media as a kind of player in it. And part of what's going on here in the background is that NPR is having a great deal of difficulty adjusting to a culture war climate in which it is constantly dragged into these sorts of public controversies. And it on the one hand, thinks that the only way it can maintain trust and what Alicia called its impartial role is by completely preventing its people from speaking to these controversies. But one of the problems with that is that when you do that, you immediately create mistrust because people want to know where your hosts and correspondents and analysts are coming from. And so the more NPR tries to stay out, the easier it is for the culture war to drag it in. And this is a problem that I don't think Vivian Schiller or people who run the network have really grappled with yet.
I didn't entirely see them saying you can't speak to the controversies. I'm going to bring that to you, Alicia, if we can just hold that one for a second. But Mona, I want to get you in here. The firing, right or wrong?
Well, it was wrong. And I think what it springs from is a tendency that people on the other side, and I am a very open conservative, and I will tell you that what is infuriating about this from the point of view of conservatives is that there is no willingness on the part of NPR to recognize that they have a point of view. They present themselves as being this dispassionate and neutral news source, whereas that is not the way they are perceived by most people in the center and certainly on the right. They are perceived as having a notable liberal bias. It's interesting, isn't it, that Juan Williams, who is on most matters considerably to the left of the political spectrum, is welcomed on Fox News, the bête noire of NPR, and permitted to have his say, whereas his appearing on that network is intolerable to the powers that be at NPR. Ms. Shepard was saying that he has been so controversial and they've gotten so many complaints about his being even appearing on Fox at all. And this betrays, I think, the narrow-mindedness of NPR and the unwillingness of NPR to acknowledge that it does have a point of view.
Mona, is it possible, though, that, I mean, Fox has introduced, I think many people would say, a level of partisanship. You may see a lean or a point of view here and there, but Fox is perhaps, many give it credit or discredit for introducing a whole new level of partisanship into American media. Is it possible that that makes it, you know, just a bridge too far for a straight-up news analyst?
Look, here's what I will say to you. I agree that Fox leans to the right, okay? But what is irritating is that nobody will acknowledge that CBS, NBC, NPR, ABC all lean to the left. Now, you may say, oh, well, they don't lean to the left as much as Fox leans to the right. And let's say I concede that. But the cumulative effect and the taxpayer subsidies for a to-the-left point of view is very unfair in the eyes of many conservatives. They say, well, you know, it's fine for a private network to have its point of view, but why should taxpayers be subsidizing a network that, whether you look at All Things Considered or Fresh Air or the Diane Rehm Show or even, may I say, your show, which all tend to have a left-of-center perspective.
By your definition, duly noted. Alicia Shepard, what about it? Mona says, you know, you say you're standing up for impartiality, objectivity, but there's a point of view here, and it's unacknowledged.
Well, there's something called the hostile media effect, and that the more neutral a news organization is in its attempts to deliver the news, the more people bring their own personal biases. So as the NPR ombudsman, I have to tell Mona that I get a lot of complaints that NPR is too far to the right, and that may be because of how NPR started, but it is not a uniquely, oh, NPR is only to the left. So again, having dealt with this job where I'm getting complaints from hundreds and hundreds of people every week, I have noticed that it depends on what your viewpoint is in terms of how you listen to a story. Now, should there be more recognizable conservative voices on NPR? Absolutely, and I have argued for that repeatedly. And then I want to just address Jay's point. First of all, he nailed it in terms of laying out what an untenable position it is. And the question is, why now? But the idea that the public mistrusts NPR because they don't put their feelings or their thoughts out, I can tell you that if they did, they would be equally criticized for that. I have no doubt about it, that if Robert Siegel was talking about his political views or how he saw a particular social event, he would be criticized for, oh, we can't trust him now. So I won't say it's a no-win situation, but I still think it's better to try to just be impartial as much as anyone can.
There are many callers piling up here. I want to get to them. But, Jay, what about this issue of impartiality, objectivity, an unspoken point of view? You know, who's where on the spectrum? What do you say, Jay?
Well, first of all, we have to recognize that accusing institutions like NPR of liberal bias is part of the way the right in this country does politics. It is actually a part of the Republican coalition. And when NPR gets about 2% of its funding from federal sources and you gin up controversy about taxpayer money going to support left-wing radio stations, you're actually engaged in a kind of fraud, which is actually routine in our environment. Secondly, I think it's much more useful to focus not so much on the ideological differences between NPR and Fox, but on the tonal and temperamental ones. You know, on Fox, news exists in order to generate controversy. Controversy generates resentment. Resentment generates ratings. On NPR, controversy is regarded itself as a kind of news, and the network reports on it. And even if there are, let's say, more liberals in NPR and more conservatives in Fox, the differences in approach towards news and controversy are profound. They are not engaged in the same kind of news environment.
And the significance of that is?
The significance of that is that NPR journalists are required to withhold themselves from public controversy, whatever they believe. And on Fox, it's the opposite. You are there to discuss events and jump into controversy. And that's why the whole concept of Juan Williams appearing on Fox and NPR at the same time was deadly and flawed to begin with. It had to explode eventually.
But, Jay, what about the argument?
It made no sense.
Forgive me, but what about the argument that withholding can keep commentators, analysts in this case, from getting real about the fullness of the issue? I mean, that's what the O'Reilly—
I think that's true. I think here's the problem for NPR, Tom, the way I see it. Mm-hmm. One way to try and be trusted is to withhold yourself and your views from controversy and become a kind of a neutral screen so that other voices can stand out. That's what Vivian Schiller says, NPR's people, that's their job. But another way to be trusted is to say, look, here's what's happening and here's where I'm coming from on it. And it's true that you would get criticized either way, and it's true that either way it's difficult to prevail in a culture war climate like this. But I think people at NPR are going to have to ask themselves whether this neutral, blank, we have no view, we have no perspective facade is worth the trouble anymore.
And of course, Mona Sharon's not buying that neutral facade, as you put it. Let's get our listeners in here. Mount Jackson, Virginia. Kathy, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Pretty well. What do you see, Kathy?
Well, I'm kind of sitting here going, well, I'm sat on the hold for 30 minutes just to say, yeah, I agree with everybody there.
You're very agreeable.
I felt that Juan was pretty much taken out of context. I mean, I sat there listened to the whole thing and went, oh, my God, Bill O'Reilly just yelled over what he was, the point he was trying to make.
You mean when he came back after his first observation to say we can't apply these kinds of sentiments to a whole population, Muslims?
Right, exactly. It's like, you know, you can always, I can say, well, I walk down the street and see a multicolored group of boys that, you know, have their pants down around their knees, and they make me nervous. Oh, my goodness, you know, am I going to get fired from my job for that?
I don't know. Anything's possible. Watch out, Kathy. Thank you. New York, John, you're on the air.
Hi, I find it quite ridiculous to call it fraud. I do believe that NPR, unfortunately, has sort of shown its colors. I don't.
What's the fraud you're referring to, John? I missed that word here. Fraud?
Your previous person calling, mm-hmm. sort of what the bias that either Fox or NPR has as fraud is kind of ridiculous. I just find it very upsetting that if you're going to talk about in total of what Juan Williams has said over the years, then state that. Show what that is. State your case if you're going to let him go. Because I don't think that he was, anything that he had said was unreasonable or not a valid point. And it didn't sort of suddenly shock listeners to him on NPR or otherwise that he has a specific viewpoint.
John, what about the argument that there's a structural problem with an NPR analyst being on Fox News, that they're two different environments and they're somehow mutually exclusive?
Well, if that's the case, that's fine, but I find it quite it's hypocrisy. You're going to have to let go a number of analysts on NPR if that's the case. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Make your policies known, especially as a taxpayer. Let us know what they are. I think NPR has lost a great voice. As said before, I think there are not as many conservative voices. And degraded David Brooks had his own show, I guess, but it's, we need more voices to balance it out, because unfortunately, whether it's true or not, to most people who are buying into this controversy, especially Waxing Fox, it's going to make the color even deeper that NPR has bent to the left, which I find unfortunate.
John, I appreciate your call.
John, I have to jump in, Tom, and
Alicia?
Say what,
yes.
You know, one of the things that you cannot say about Juan Williams is that he is the conservative voice on NPR. You cannot pin down Juan Williams. Moni even mentioned that he often has different takes on different things. And so he was not considered and not hired and not promoted as the conservative voice. He may have been the liberal voice on Fox News.
Mona, what about it then? Is the answer to pull NPR folks out of Fox-style news environments or media environments, Mona?
Well, here's where I think that the Ms. Shepherd's explanations tend to break down. For one thing, Nina Totenberg has a very active career, both as a correspondent covering the court for NPR and also as a commentator on television news programs, where she lets fly with some pretty inflammatory comments, like wishing that Jesse Helms would catch AIDS and so forth. So that's fairly opinionated and quite inflammatory. And so then the Shepherd said, well, it isn't the content of what Juan said. It was rather the forum and the style of Fox News that they object to. There's the yelling, and she said something about an ethics code. Now, you know, I don't like yelling any more than the next person, but if that were really the issue, then it seems to me that they would have forbidden Juan to go on Fox right from the get-go, but they didn't. So to say, you know, over the years, it's been, you know, it's the yelling, that doesn't make sense. It's clear that the things that he was saying were found to not comport with the NPR view of the world, and therefore he had to be let go.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Juan Williams firing, NPR, and the boundaries of news and analysis. Alicia Shepard is here from San Antonio, Texas. She's the NPR ombudsman. Mona Sharon is with us from Great Falls, Virginia, syndicated columnist, political analyst, conservative, author of Do-Gooders. Jay Rosen is here, professor of journalism at New York University. He writes the Press Think blog there. Here's Juan Williams himself yesterday on Fox News, where he now is a full-time $2 million, we're told, employee, continuing to defend himself and criticize NPR.
They suggest that I somehow violated NPR standards, journalistic standards, by telling people about a feeling I had. I think in terms of my values, and I think I hope would in terms of everybody's values for journalists, that people should be open and able to say, this is how I feel in this situation, let's talk about it. I didn't advocate discriminating against Muslims.
Be open and be able to talk about it. Listeners, what do you think? 800-423-8255. Let's go to Johnny in Dothan, Alabama. Johnny, you're on the air.
Thank you, Tom. What make news so important and so relevant is when one hold back their opinion. I am a big contributor of NPR as well as PBS for the last 22 years. We continue to hope that NPR stay neutral where they just tell the story. That's what I love so much about this program and as well as PBS. So I say kudos.
Kudos, but what about, you know, if it's news analysis, Johnny, do you not want to have a sense of what, you know, Juan's thinking deep down, or maybe not?
Well, when you paint certain people with a broad brush, you're in trouble. You know, if I'm mad with my neighbor, I don't need to paint the rest of the community bad because I'm mad with my neighbor. You must be careful on such.
What about Shirley Sherrod? You remember that case in the Department of Agriculture where the old video was brought out that showed her appearing to say something negative about a white farmer? She was African American. It turns out she was trying to make the opposite point. Is it possible, Juan?
Well, you know, I can understand where you're going, but you can't do a knee-jerk reaction. According to your guest in there, she didn't do a knee-jerk reaction. She said, I'm paraphrasing, but this was a build-up, and this one was the one that broke the camera's back.
Johnny, you're a close listener. I appreciate your call very much there in Alabama. One from Nebraska, Omaha. Al, you're on the air.
Thank you. Two things. One, no, I don't believe NPR was right in their firing, and to sort of piggyback on the previous caller, he was expressing an opinion. He wasn't reporting for NPR, but you know, he was representing NPR. Firing, I think is probably going a little to the extreme. Second point, and one of your guests had made mention about how, you know, the various news agencies are getting in, you know, they've been into the habit of the last 10, 15 years more and more of leaning towards a particular side, of reporting, you know, more to the left or to the right. And unfortunately, you know, that has caused the death of true objective journalism, you know, in this country. We see it from Fox, we see it from CNN, and nobody can make an articulate opinion anymore because all they're doing is listening to the folks who report from one side or the other. And nobody's willing to, unfortunately, go out and do the research themselves and make up their own minds.
Al, I appreciate your call as well. Mona Sharon, in your view, is there anything, you say you want all cards on the table, is there anything that shouldn't be in a news media environment? You know, Juan expressed worry and nervousness about people in Muslim garb on an airplane. What if it was, you know, just straight up, I don't know, loathing?
That's a really good point, Tom, because we should get to the content of what Juan said, because there are, you know, Ms. Shepard is correct that nobody has a right to be on any particular radio program, and all organizations ought to have standards. That's for sure. If Juan had come on television and suggested that we need to arrest all the Muslims or Sikhs or Jews or Episcopalians in America because that would make us all feel better, I think that might be a firing offense because it would violate all of our standards of decency in public discourse. On the other hand, the problem with the NPR example with Juan is that they have, you know, this example really just ratified Juan's critique, saying that this is political correctness, because here was a man who was trying to say as you've pointed out, Tom, that that our initial knee-jerk reactions may not be the right way to go. He was trying to get that out. And immediately, you know, in a very knee-jerk fashion, NPR fired him. Okay, if they say, well, this is the straw that broke the camel's back, first of all, this straw was not a straw. And second, they should provide chapter and verse. They should have been keeping personnel records. They should give us the examples of the things that Juan has said, supposedly, that are beyond the bounds of civilized discourse. I think they would have a very hard time compiling such a list because Juan is not an extremist. Juan is not a hater. He is an interesting and sometimes heterodox liberal.
But he's a very prominent news analyst. And let me just ask you, Mona, I mean, in this case, Juan says he was trying to make the opposite point, but he put it out there that this Muslim fellow passengers, in effect, made him nervous. I mean, what if it had been, I don't know, I don't even know what your ethnic group is, Mona, or, you know, something about you that a prominent news analyst in this country said made him nervous. How would you feel about that?
There has to be a willingness to allow a broad range of discussion in a free country. The lines of what is so-called unacceptable conversation should be extremely broad, because otherwise it really does infringe on the most important liberty we have, and that is our freedom of speech. When you start saying this is unacceptable and that's unacceptable, it really constrains and chills dialogue. I don't say that every kind of political discussion should be within bounds, but I would put those barriers very, very far to the extremes and allow people to speak. The best answer to offensive speech is speech in the other direction, is a counter-argument, not policing of what people say.
Newman in Cambridge,
Massachusetts.
Yeah, if I can get one question, and I'll come to you, Alicia. But Newman in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Newman,
okay.
You're on the air.
Yes. My question has to do with the right of people to be have feelings, be irrational, and this includes the people who make decisions for NPR. And the question is to what extent they may be influenced, consciously or subconsciously, by the fact that Mr. Ibrahim from CARE called and obviously was very unhappy or angry about what Juan said about Muslims. And even so, I don't imply that he or his organization would necessarily throw any bombs in NPR, but there was Major Hassan and so on. So the question is, do external influence both on the stick side and also on the carrot side, like Mr. George, who gave close to $2 million to NPR, and he was very generous, and he has every right to be generous, but he is...
You're talking about the widow of the
No, he's talking about George Soros.
Oh, George Soros, excuse me. Well, let us pick up CARE, Committee for Council on American-Islamic Relations. Alicia, they did call NPR, at least from what I'm reading here, to complain about Juan's comments. What impact, what influence did that have on the decision?
Well, I believe the caller was acting, it was raising the question about irrational responses, knee-jerk responses, and I want to bring that around to your question of, did NPR do the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, yes, they did do the right thing in firing Juan Williams. But how they did they do it correctly? No. And did it appear knee-jerk and was it well thought out? No. And, you know, that was, you know, the biggest mistake of all. Mona's right. They should state the case. Someone else said that, too. There are examples. I could give you examples. I will be writing about that. But, you know, that is really the issue that we also need to address here is not what they did, but how they did it. They didn't they called him on the telephone and they said, you know, we just want you to know that your contract is terminated. He said, can I come in? No, that's it. It's done. He'd been there for 10 years. They didn't make the case to the stations, the public radio stations, many of which were undergoing pledge drives, and the poor volunteers, these people who, you know, come in and want to help, and they're the ones who took the brunt at many stations. I mean, it obviously was not well thought out, and the implications were not what they may have been considered, but I've been there 3 years. It's not the longest record, but I have never felt such intensity from callers, listeners, people emailing. I mean, it was just amazing. And then, of course, the day before when this story first broke, that what he had said, there were all calls, fire Juan Williams, fire Juan. And then the next day, it's like, how dare you fire Juan? But why? Anyone has a right to criticize NPR about how they handled it.
Jay Rosen, I'm still trying to get a handle on where American thinking is going, on what is appropriate content in a news media setting. There are a lot of calls out there for transparency, you know, let go of some of the old formality of news structures so that people understand the context of perspective of how you're looking at things. And here Juan puts a very personal perspective on the table. Vivian Schiller, the CEO of NPR, came back in quick comments afterwards saying that's the kind of thing he should be sharing with his psychiatrist or his public relations agent. She subsequently apologized for that. But is this kind of transparency sort of transgressive, Jay? Are we in a more transparent era now where we're better off to know what people are thinking beyond their analysis or news reporting?
Well, first, I want to give a bit of news to show just how consequential this incident has been. WBUR, your own station, is now saying to donors that they can donate money and none of it will go to NPR.
That's
extraordinary.
I actually don't know what's going on that front here as we speak at this moment, Jay.
It was on Twitter this morning from a WBUR employee.
I mean, I guess the people are making the case that NPR and local stations stand on their own bottoms. That's quite true.
Yeah, well, but it just shows you the effects of these kinds of culture war controversies. But to your question, here's what I think is so tricky and subtle about this. There are actually two different ways of trying to be trusted, and I think we are shifting toward a new one. One way to be trusted is to say to listeners, this is what happened. This is the news. Here are the facts. We're not giving you our attitude about them. This is what went on. And we'll bring on other guests who can take perspectives, and we'll try and give you a range of perspectives. And the other way to do it is to say, well, here's what's happening. Here's what we found in our reporting. And now here's what, having gone down to the Gulf and interviewed people on all sides of the BP oil spill and talked to the company and talked to the people who are suffering there, here's what I think, right? And that's another way of being trusted. And if we try to phrase or jam that difference into news versus opinion or objectivity versus subjectivity, we're actually going to lose all the nuance in that shift. And I do think that starting to transition to a place where NPR people in their own diversity can begin to share what they think as well as what they have found, they will come in that evolution to a new way of being trusted. And it's hard because it's going to be surrounded by angst and confusion and criticism and more culture war. But the way things are going now, there's just going to be another Juan Williams controversy after another one. And you can see that it's actually penetrating now to their actual fundraising.
Alicia Shepard, your job is to be the ombudsman here. How do you define, then, this role of news analysis in a period where all kinds of sentiment and emotion and, emotional honesty is coming right into fora where news is being reported and analyzed? Can you keep a clear boundary there, Alicia? I mean, do you know how to do it? You're the ombudsman.
Well, this obviously has indicated how difficult it is to try to straddle those roles. And my hope would be that NPR would phase out the role completely, and maybe also, I'm thinking, not allow Anina Totenberg to go on a regular forum. It's interesting to me how many complaints I've now gotten about Nina and things that she has said on other networks that were not brought to my attention earlier. But so that clearly is an issue that NPR has to determine, because it just doesn't seem to work.
Will the country be better off if you pull all NPR people back into the, into the circle of NPR alone?
I don't know that I can answer that. I would hope that the country would be better off by getting, good, structured, well-thought-out, measured news in context. And, you know, Jay raises an interesting point. Maybe that's the direction to move in. But right now, it is clear that the others will be brought in to create dialogue, to add different perspectives.
Mona, do you concede that there's a place? Do you concede there's a place for news and analysis that is not first and foremost ideological, Mona? Mona?
Sorry. Oh, yes. Sorry. I would vote, if Ms. Shepherd doesn't mind a suggestion, I would vote for more speech, not less. More diversity of views, more effort to present varying perspectives, because this attempt to search for some ineffable neutrality is going to be a fool's errand. Everybody has a point of view. It does influence the way they see the world and what they even see as newsworthy. So it's, if you're looking for a balance, it's far better to get as many different perspectives as you possibly can on the news, rather than simply saying we're going to exclude opinion. That's an impossible task. You can't do it.
But we have decades of that as a goal, as a high goal of American journalism. You call it ineffable neutrality, but I mean that standard, that goal was out there for a long time. Do we throw that away and say, you know, everybody lay your opinion out, and then we'll look at the facts?
No, it's not. I'm not suggesting that you lay your opinions out first. Obviously, you need to present facts that all agree on, and then present competing opinions on those facts. But even in the search for those facts, I would argue, you need to have varying perspectives. Just as newsrooms over the last 30 to 40 years have attempted to bring in women and minorities so that they, because they believed that women and minorities would influence the way the news was gathered. They would influence what was perceived to be news.
Mona, with that, we're out of time. I mean, Juan Williams literally got his opinion out first in this particular appearance, and maybe that's the rub. I'm grateful to each of you for being here. Mona Sharon, thank you so much. Jay Rosen, always great to have you here from NYU, and Alicia Shepherd at NPR. Alicia, thank you for being with us. Listeners, thanks for your input. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is NPR's On Point.